League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
All right, you all know the drill. When your number is called, step forward and repeat the phrase you've been given. Understand? Number one, step forward.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy, affordable, hassle-free energy from a company that has your back. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What's happening, Houston, Texas? Back in the mix. This is The Usual Suspects. Joel Blank back in the house, baby.
Who?
What up, Joel?
What? Good to be back, fellas. Yikes, I know you didn't miss me or anything, but good Lord. I can only take so much vacation. It's good to be back.
What's up, man?
Hey, man. Tell you what. Cali's a different lifestyle.
Is it?
I'm going to tell you right now.
How high did you get?
No, but like, my first of all, traffic-wise, and I know we bitch about Houston traffic.
Yeah.
But there is nothing like how Los Angeles and New York are just awful, man. We went to the Dodger game Tuesday night, and it really wasn't even that bad. And Chavez Ravine and Dodger Stadium is close enough, but it wasn't too bad. But I saw the Clippers traffic, and I could see some of the, like, the 405. I'm like, hell no. On a daily basis? My God.
Yeah, they say it'll take you an hour to an hour and a half to get anywhere in L.A. Easily.
Yeah, you know, I always compared. I was even in New York, because it was worse in New York. And I had tickets to a Mets game one night, and they were like, if you don't leave for a 7 o'clock game by like 3:15, 3:30, you're not making it.
Wow.
And I think Houston people get so spoiled about the fact that they can go from wherever they live to like Minute Maid or Toyota Center and be there in like a half hour.
Bro, when Nick and I went to the second Rockets game home, the home game here,
yeah,
and it didn't fill up at all. And there was no one here until like 8:30.
The lower bowl, you mean?
Yeah. And I was posting about it, and people were like, well, there's a lot of traffic. And I'm like, every other city in this nation fills that up. But Houston drivers bitch about traffic. You guys don't have any idea with places like Chicago, New York, and L.A.
Yeah,
like
man.
Well, I will say, though, Chicago was incredibly empty at their playoff game. Did you see the picture?
I didn't. I missed that.
Well, that's because Rondo's out, so they know they're going to lose now.
Before Rondo was out.
The day tripper?
Yeah.
So, like, it's actually becoming a trend. Because I think Houston is not the only city that suffers from.
Well, you know, even on my way to all my interviews and maneuvering around town to get to all my interviews, I mean, just like your average jaunt across town, which people take for granted in Houston, you can do in like 10, 15 minutes. You're like, oh my God, that's like an hour and 15.
That's crazy.
And like, if you don't know the side streets, like Lisa was coming from Hollywood to get to Dodger Stadium. And my brother-in-law and his wife were like, well, she better not get near a highway. She better take this street to that street, take that side street, and come from the back way, or she ain't making it by game time. I'm like, by game time? It's like 5 o'clock. They're like, nope.
Nice.
So it was brutal.
So you got you a nice, shiny new Dodger hat?
I did. I got a batting practice hat. I'm not a Dodger. Right. I'm not a Dodger fan like Lisa's family is, but her brother bought it for me. And of all the hats, the new Dodger hat with the D on it.
I dig it.
Yeah, I like it.
It's a good looking hat.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you
what the D stood for. Then I figured it out.
Yeah, you know, you put a big D on the hat and people flock to you. It's weird.
Tell us about this mini suite situation. They're selling mini suites.
The weirdest thing ever. So Chavez Ravine and Dodger Stadium, you know, they're trying to hang on to, it's not quite Wrigley Field or Fenway or, you know, old Yankee Stadium. But that's the first time I'd been in there before, but never for a game. And I know they're trying to hang on. But at the top, you know, at the top of every section, there's kind of like a cinder block wall. And on the other side, a lot of places they have handicap seating, or they have just like, it's like a big space and they put a couple of stools there.
Right.
So they have four metal bar stools and a high tabled bar, you know, like when you go to a bar and it's kind of like a raised up half table.
Yeah.
and a big sign that says, check out our mini suites like this one that you can rent on a game by game or for a seasonal basis. And I'm going, and I said to the usher, I go, that's the mini suite? She goes, oh, yeah, you get those four stools and all that table space.
No.
I go, no bathroom, no furniture, no TV, no nothing. She goes, yeah, no, we're a little old school that way. I go, not just that way alone, but yes.
It's not a suite.
Yeah,
it's not a suite at all.
No. I mean, everything was just so like old back in the day. Like you walked the concourse and you could just feel like the 50s. But they try and modernize it because they don't want to move. But it is so far away from what Minute Maid is in terms of amenities and modernization and all that. But yeah. I'll tell you what, the backdrop, I had tweeted the picture, but as the sun is setting with the mountains and the palm trees and everything out in the outfield, it's a pretty sweet, and it's dropped down from street level. So you're down in the ravine, and so you don't get a lot of the high winds and all that. But man, it's a I mean, just to watch a game, it was beautiful.
Yeah, nice. Yeah.
So that was cool.
So and what else did y'all do?
So Lisa's parents are six blocks from Coachella.
Really?
Yeah. So from
you
there,
went and saw a bunch of hippie chicks. And
I said I saw more weirdos. Of Scooby and Scrappy Doo's vans, and like so we came in when most of the people were getting ready to leave. So we got in Sunday. We traveled Easter Sunday. So Monday morning, Lisa and I go to get coffee, and we're driving through town, and literally every street is full, and it's not. Every car, because I had heard from my friends, oh, no, Coachella's more like River Oaksy crowd. And I'm like, really? I didn't. And they. And so what I found out was general admission is all the kids. And I mean, a three-day pass starts at face value at $550.
That's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and they're going online for $5,000. But they said that the tents and the little mini houses and things that they construct, those can start in the 10,000, 20,000. That's
good
where the
Lord.
Ritzy people go.
Now, what exactly is at Coachella? Is it just a music thing?
It's like a mini Woodstock. Yeah.
Oh,
so,
hell.
So, and this was the first year, I think, now that it used to be it's two weekends and there's like headliners all 3 days the first weekend and then new headliners. This year, all the headliners came back for second weekend.
Okay.
So it was Radiohead on Friday night. It was Lady Gaga who took over. Beyonce was supposed to do it, and then when she got pregnant. So Gaga did Saturday night, and then Sunday was Future and Drake and all, you know, a bunch of different names, and people make guest appearances. And then, of course, Drake made all the headlines because they got this real ritzy neighborhood right down the street where they're building these million-dollar homes, and in the process, they also have like a clubhouse and a restaurant. And he tweeted, I've never had more racially profiled service and blah, 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 blah than this place. And all of a sudden, the hate tweets and the social media and came at these people. And I was like, Lisa, drive me by there.
Uh-huh.
And it's this big, ritzy, gated area. And I'm like, so I guess unless you buy a house that they have one of those like in the center, a restaurant and clubhouse and things like that. But I guess that's where it happened. But it was all the rage. And then the...
Now, real quick. Mm-hmm. So Beyonce backed out.
Because she's pregnant, yeah.
But Serena can go out and win a tennis match, a tennis pregnant. So I think Beyonce just mailed it in. Let's be real.
It's possible.
Like Serena's playing tennis pregnant.
Beyonce saw the second set and realized that her backhand just wasn't going to hold up under the pressure and being, you know, outside like that in those elements.
I'm just saying, Serena won the Australian Open when she was pregnant?
Yeah.
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 Beyonce, stop mailing it in, girl. All right.
And you guys had plenty to talk about last week. All I kept thinking about is the news was rolling in. Like, dude, here's another freaking softball pitch thrown right at you to hammer out of the park.
Yeah, there was tons of stuff. Lots.
The Aaron Hernandez stuff was crazy.
Yes. Yes. But what else? I want to hear more about this vacation. So what else did y'all do? So you didn't get high, you said.
No.
You claim.
No.
You didn't have any medicinal.
I never do that. You guys know that. I've never done that.
Okay.
Lots of family time, but the weird thing was we left the baby.
Here?
In California. With grandma.
What?
With grandma and grandpa.
You left the baby?
So Lisa's whole thing was she's got to get to know her family better because they live in California. So her mom and dad are there, and then her brother and his wife have three boys, twins that are five, and a one-year-old boy.
Okay.
And so she wants to make sure the kids know each other. And so Taylor immediately hit it off with the kids, and one of the twin boys just became like big brother. He just was like, whatever she needs, whatever she wants. He was like, we couldn't find him, and he was literally in the bedroom. Taylor was in the crib, and he was singing and talking to her by himself. We're like, that is really cool.
Yeah.
So the big problem was is that Taylor's afraid of her grandfather. No matter where, so we're like, and so that up until the very last day, they were debating whether we were going to leave her or not. And I was not a fan of it because I just don't like giving up my daughter. I'm just used to it. So the last day they decided we're going to leave her, and her mom's been sending us pictures and updates. She's accepted grandpa now, and she has a noise in the face she makes when he has to know that she's had enough. Like, she'll be okay with him if he has the iPad, but the minute that he tries to, like, play and tickle with her or, like, get too close, she does this, and that's it. Like, that means grandpa, get away.
So now how old is she again?
She's almost 20 months.
Okay. So
little
how
year
long
and
is
half.
She gonna? So is she able to do that? I mean, like, yeah, establish those relationships and all that.
Yeah,
isn't that
so
still kind of young.
Because as long as the boys are around too, she knows the boys now. So she and you know she's running and really walking and running all over the place now. Oh. So they take her to the parks. They have these huge parks there, and she runs and stuff. But so Lisa's gonna go back Friday, and pick her up, spend the weekend with her folks, and bring her back Sunday, and. We originally it was going to be 2 weeks, and I thought that was too much on right from the get go.
Yeah,
but it's turned out that it'll work out best. Yeah, everybody agreed.
So no kid for a week. Y'all are going to be so exhausted from sexing,
dude. And let me just say
it's
this:
going to be.
Let me just say
just,
this: Friday night we got off the plane,
God.
And the dogs
Congrats.
Were still being kenneled,
uh-huh.
And we're like, wait a minute, we could go to dinner.
Yeah,
I was telling Nick we had a full blown date night, and it was for the first time since. She got pregnant that we actually had a vacation, and we also had a date night where we could go to dinner and go. We went out to Sugarland Town Center where you can walk. They have live music. We hung out. We grabbed some frozen yogurt. We're sitting there. We're like, it just feels like we're supposed to be rushing home.
Yeah.
So Look without dogs and kids, it was different, but we loved it. So
well,
it was cool.
Good for you guys, man.
So well, you guys had a good week?
Yeah. Yeah, we did. Yeah, we did.
Jerome forgot about one of the shows, but...
I heard that, too. I was following you guys on Twitter a little bit, and I was like, no, wait a minute. How in the world does he forget?
Well, he's done it before. I've had to, you know, I was saying I had to fill in for the Blitz an hour because he forgot, and then he didn't realize he was Monday and Friday. He thought he was Wednesday and Friday, so Shock had to do Monday, and then Jerome did Wednesday. Yeah, he forgot. It was weird. So, yeah, it's one of those things, as long... It all happened, so no harm, no foul.
Right.
You know what I mean? We pulled it off, but it was a lot of fun, but not the same. No one started the What Up H-Town and gave the weather report, so it didn't feel right. But, yeah, man, it was interesting.
And then I got some...
I almost got in trouble because I said you don't see a lot of black guys riding horses, and Jerome was, like, sending me pictures.
Yeah. Of black guys on horses.
Yeah. And then people started telling me all of the locations that you could. And I was like, oh, yeah, there's a lot more than you think. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. We had an all right time. Nick held it down, though. He's the real MVP.
No question. Plus, I see you spent quality time. And by the way, that's the. Let's quit burying the lead.
What?
Literally burying the lead.
Oh, with Barry Warner.
Oh, my God. I was grossed out the first day. I get on Twitter and I see him taking his shirt off in front of you guys. And I'm like, what the hell just happened there?
Out. I blocked that out of my memory already. Thanks for bringing up that suppressed
And then
memory.
El Jefe digitizes his groin, and I'm thinking, oh, Lord, Jiminy Cricket made an appearance. Jeez.
No, thank goodness he did not. Hey, real quick, Nexen Tire is the leading warranty in the tire industry. If you need tires, look at Nexen Tires. Exclusive free roadside assistance. If you get a flat, Nexen will change your tire or tow your vehicle for free. Fastest growing tire brand, trusted by automotive manufacturers the world over. Check out Nexen Tire on the web or learn more at NexenTireUSA.com.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, what do you know? H-Town! I haven't said that in over a week. What up, H-Town? But I'll tell you what, if you're not outside today,
dumb.
Good Lord, you are missing something. This is like a, what do they call it, a Chamber of Commerce Day.
It is. This is probably what L.A. was like, huh?
Every day.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
And then you guys had rain early in the week, right? There was like, I saw some flooding warnings and stuff.
Yeah, it got a little dicey. You know, typical Houston rain. Yeah. Anytime it rains here, it floods.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because you guys were doing that, and that's the same time we were driving around to get coffee on Monday and looking at all the people recovering from hangovers all over
from Coachella
town. Yeah. And I'd forgot what that was like, but looking at those kids, I'm like, God, I remember what that was like. The next day was always awful.
Yeah.
It was crazy. I mean, you get like five girls in their like late teens, early 20s. They come into Starbucks and they order a muffin while they're waiting for their coffee. They drop half of it and it's the crumbs coming out of their mouth. And they're just kicking it because they don't want to pick it up. And
breath stinking to all be damned.
Man. And they're going to do it all again. They did it all again last weekend.
That's crazy.
I was going to ask you guys.
Okay.
And I threw this out to Nick too. So in watching the Rockets this weekend and in watching the whole Pat Beverly thing unfold, which we can get to because that there's parts of that that I just think is absolutely ludicrous and his fine, but it behooved me to ask you guys the question and ask you the listeners out there. Pat Beverly is to OKC what blank is to Houston. Now, based on some of the Twitter people out there, I know that they did insert my name there. But other than that, it's like, is it Derek Fisher? Who is Houston's version of Pat Beverly to OKC? Like,
does it have to be NBA?
No, but I was thinking about it. It could be Cortland Finnegan.
I was going to say.
Right? It could be Albert Pujols.
But I don't know. I mean, Pujols, other than him crushing dreams, I don't think he's necessarily considered like an a-hole on the field.
No,
like, I think people look at Beverly and think he's cheap and he's an a-hole and all that.
I mean,
Finnegan. Like a lot of people, I think, would say that about Cortland Finnegan.
Because I used to say, look, Pat Beverly is not going to get a Christmas card from 31 teams in the NBA.
Nope.
But he's going to get more than enough from the people on the around the Rockets because that's how much love he gets from the team he's going to play for. And I thought of guys like Matt Harpering back in the day, who everybody hated on the Jazz, but the Utah fans loved. And I'm thinking, so who is it? Is it, is it Finnegan? Is it Derek Fisher who had all the cheap shots? Is it a guy like Kobe who everybody hated because he ripped your heart out again? Again, not necessarily a bad guy. And how do you define that hatred? Because Beverly, obviously, it goes deeper than that with the injury that Westbrook got in the playoffs. But then he goes and says, look, the ball boy of all people made a death threat to me. So he had received death threats on Twitter. And when they actually got into it and investigated 4 years ago, they found out it was one of the ball boys for OKC that had actually made the death threat towards him.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And people lose their mind over this.
No question.
It's ridiculous.
And I remember sitting there at practice one day with him going, dude, does any of this stuff scare you? And he just looked at me shaking his head and he goes, bro, if you could see the neighborhood I grew up in Chicago and the fact that just walking to and from the store was an adventure to where that's scary.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I get that.
Yeah.
But that's funny. I mean, he was the most hated guy in that city whenever we played in it.
Man, so. I'm trying to think of who.
Me too. I can't think of one.
Back in the day, I would say someone like Stockton.
Stockton or Malone.
Yeah.
Remember because the bad pick Malone sent on.
Is kind of that guy.
Yeah.
But he's generally that guy, not just
he's that
for the
guy
Rockets.
League-wide, right?
Yeah.
But remember, Bruce Bowen kind of hated when he was playing?
Yeah, there's another good one.
But not, I mean, I know what you're saying, though.
But not to that level,
because Pat Beverly to OKC, so it's got to be someone very specific to the Rockets. And I just don't know if that guy exists right now.
I think the closest, because it's the a-hole factor, not just because you bettered the Houston team. I think it's Finnegan.
It's Finnegan, or maybe, no, it's not even Draymond, really. I don't know.
Yeah, Draymond started it.
More time to think.
Yeah, and you guys can feel free to chime in too. 713-780-ESPN on the HRNP listener line, where you can call or you can text us. Barry checks the text messages on a regular basis, and also hit us up on Twitter at PacManJoel with a K, at the producer Nick, and at Barry is funny. We are the usual suspects. We are all back, at least I am, and joining the crew again. And we are here till 4 on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's Nick. It's Barry. It's Joel. It's The Usual Suspects. And we are here in the studio on a beautiful day in H-Town as we continue to kick around the most hated from an athletic perspective in the city of Houston, Texas. Some of you have said Matt Barnes. Some of you said Damon Lillard because of the big shot against the Blazers a few years ago.
Got a texter that said Kermit Washington, which is a really good one.
It's a good call.
But I think I want to narrow this because all we're going to get is an influx of a-holes in sports.
Right.
We have to narrow this back down, folks. Keep focused. The question is, Pat Beverly is to OKC as fill in the right. blank is to Houston.
Right.
And that's got to be current, too, because we're talking current or, you know, somewhat current. So if you go Courtland Finnegan, because you can't think of anybody else, but we can't start going back and just naming individual guys that no one likes in sports. Like, that's not the question. Right. So we got to stay focused.
Right.
But it's tough because I'm really trying to think if there's a villain right now. And off the top of my head, the only thing I could say is maybe Russell Westbrook is that guy because of the beef that he has, the continued beef between him and Beverly, and the fact that him and right. Harden, like you said, are competing for the yes. MVP. So maybe that's that guy right now.
He could be, right?
He might
very
be the
well
most
be.
Hated.
And it's not for any kind of a-hole move. It's just because of the overall intertwined relationship.
Yeah.
Between him and this city and all the Rockets fans, because there is a ton of venom and hatred over this MVP thing.
Yep.
And obviously, Rockets fans are going to stick up for Pat Bev in the whole deal with Westbrook a couple of years ago.
And so, I'm trying to think, who comes into town? And Nick, you went to a ton of games. You might know more than either of us. But who comes into town, and as soon as they touch the ball, people start booing?
The Rockets really haven't had that player yet this season.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought. Now, yeah. that goes back to Pujols,
right.
who, as soon as he comes to bat, much like Beltran,
there Beltran was one I was thought about hater, until the Astros added him this year.
But he is an Astro.
Right.
But right now, the most hated is probably, like you said, Pujols. But he's not an a-hole. But I guess that doesn't change the fact that he's most hated.
And he ripped the hearts out of the city of Houston.
Yeah.
Yeah. With the big home run against Lidge.
So I think he might be the leader in the clubhouse.
I'm surprised Derek Fisher doesn't get more hate. Because and maybe it's because he's not playing anymore. But
probably.
Remember twice how he threw the forearm once to Scola under his chin on that when yep. Scola was when they were setting the pick and he knew it was coming and he turned and just rearranged Scola's chin with a forearm. And you know, the fact that when the Rockets traded for him, they never even gave him a uniform because there was no way Rockets fans wanted to see Derek Fisher ever put the red and white on.
Yeah.
He was hated for a long time because he was that a-hole.
Yep.
They won, but he was an a-hole.
Yeah. But I think you're right. I think you would have to go Pujols number one, without a doubt.
Even over Finnegan?
Yeah, because Finnegan's kind of irrelevant now. He's like a nickel corner. I don't think he even starts. I forget where he's
Plus
at
Plus, he got
now.
His ass kicked.
Yeah, and he got his ass whooped. So, but I think it's Pujols and then maybe Westbrook I right now. And then okay. I can't think of anyone in football because they're all so, you know, it's so bad. But yeah, I think I would do that. Nick, have you thought of anyone?
I've been
you would
trying
add?
To think of somebody that I've seen the Rockets fans.
Yeah,
boo,
somebody that
I
would
haven't.
Boo.
Westbrook is literally the only player that I've seen.
Yeah, so, and people, again, Charles Barkley, Stockton. No, you guys are missing the point of the question. It's right now. Yeah. It's right now, guys that are playing.
Recent, relative.
Yes.
Now, J.J. Barea and some of the guys on the Mavs, there's a little validity to that because that rivalry got heated a couple years ago. The only reason when you brought up Draymond Green that I agree with you, Barry, is because a couple years ago, before they were winning championships, when Mark Jackson was the coach, in that game where the Rockets were trying to break the record for threes in a game,
yep.
he didn't play. And Mark Jackson put Draymond Green in the game with the specific instructions of, if any Rocket tries to shoot a three, you tackle their ass. And that started everybody going, oh, he's the goon. He's yeah. that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
And then right after that game, if you remember, Bogut and Chandler Parsons got into a back and forth about the, what do you call it, when you use the letters of to stand for some acronym.
Yeah.
When Bogut said, because they were playing in Oakland the following Tuesday, and Bogut said to Chandler, you know what you are. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Oh.
And that really got it all escalated.
Nice.
But then, of course, Golden State took off and the Rockets didn't.
Yeah.
And that changed that kind of dynamic and playing field. Otherwise, Draymond Green could have been that guy.
Yeah, he very well could have. And you mentioned another name that might have been that guy had he continued to play at an exceptional level, and that's Chandler Parsons. His first year back, he got booed quite a bit.
Yeah.
But he fell off so bad that it became immaterial. He didn't matter, you know, when it comes to the Rockets. And would you say who was the guy that Ariza was going to fight earlier in the year from the Mavs?
Oh, the guy that, yeah. The strange 7-foot guy.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I don't think he would count, I guess. Maybe Ariza's most hated. But yeah, I think right now, unless someone can give us a better current player's name that's hated, I'd go Pujols and then Westbrook. I think that's a good one, too.
Okay. And three if you had to? Finnegan?
Yeah, but
because he's not playing anymore.
Johnson's not here, so you don't have that rivalry.
Well, he was for a day last week.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I don't know. Somebody said Brock Osweiler. He might be the most loathed, but I don't know about hated.
But you got to believe if he came in to play the Texans next year,
yeah,
the minute he walked on that field, I guarantee you it would be deafening. The boos.
Could you imagine if he comes back and beats him? For whatever reason. Oh, wouldn't that be hilarious?
Would that make that Vince Young game look like nothing?
Yeah, and I said, wouldn't that be hilarious if for some reason they're down, the Browns are down by two, QB gets hurt, Cody Kessler? Yeah, gets hurt, Brock has to come in, leads them down to a field goal, and they win. God, that would be hilarious. I would just lose my mind watching the city erupt over that.
Hey, by the way, this is the way we do things for you guys out there, but we're lining up some people now that are going to make this a heck of an afternoon for you.
Yeah.
I'll start and let Nick come through with his big get. But I'll start with a guy that everybody's been clamoring for. He's the greatest follow on Twitter. He's one of the most popular ex-Rockets of all time. And we just confirmed Vernon Maxwell will join us at 2:30.
That's going to be fun. Yep.
Because we can talk about a lot and he won't hold back. So
yeah,
that'll be great.
He's been pretty transparent on Twitter. He's a good follow on Twitter.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's at Vernon Maxwell 11, so give him a follow. And then Nick.
At 145, Barry Trammell, the guy who asked the question that really sparked up Russell Westbrook. It was actually a question directed at Steven Adams, but Westbrook kind of jumped in. We'll play that audio and we'll have him join us via the telephone on the HRNP hotline.
Fantastic get on your part, sir. That whole thing to me was just nuts. Because I understand Westbrook's trying to show that he's a leader of that team and everything, but just let Steven Adams answer the question.
Let him talk. It almost defeated the purpose of what he was trying to say.
Right.
I felt like, I mean, and I know we'll play the audio, but if you didn't hear it, he basically was like, there was a question about him. You want to go ahead and run it?
We can play it right now.
Yeah, go ahead and play it so people know kind of the context that we're talking about.
If I go to the bench, if Steven's on the floor, if I'm off the floor, we in this together. Don't split us up. Don't try to split us up. Don't try to make us go against each other. Try to make against Russell and the rest of the guys. Russell against Houston. I don't want to hear that. We in this together. We playing as a team, and that's all that matters. That's it.
Yeah, Russell, I'm not trying to split you up, but twice in three games, you guys have not played well at all when you've gone to the bench.
That's fine.
I'm just trying to figure out what's going on.
Say Russell, you ain't played well at all. Say Russell and the team haven't played well. Don't say when Russell goes out, the team don't play well. It don't matter. We in this together.
That may be, Russell, but I've asked Steven a question. Cool. And it's a legitimate
question. Me and you. Next question.
It's a legitimate question.
Next question. Next question. Next question.
No, I think we'll keep the microphone. I had a question for Steve. I had a question for Steven, and it wasn't answered.
Most reporters would back down.
If Steven wants to say, he still hadn't said anything. If he wants to say, I don't want to answer that, fine. But
next question, please.
I love it.
That's where I give the reporter credit for not backing down. But at the same time, he's absolutely right. Steven Adams is a real man. He's 7 foot tall. He's a pretty macho dude. Just answer one way or another. I don't want to answer that, or we're good. We know we need to play, but something.
Yeah, and first of all, you're right. A lot of people would have backed down, me included. I probably would have just wussed out. Because, I mean, we've been in there the last couple of weeks getting audio from these guys and sitting through those press conferences, and it's like, I don't even ask questions because I don't want to look like an idiot asking a dumb question this early on.
It's so different, though, when you have a reporter who's there to get a quote. He has to get a quote.
Yeah.
And it's the worst thing ever when they don't get a quote that they can work with, and then they still have to go write a story. So, I mean, he didn't get an answer to his question.
And props to him, like you said, for sticking with it. And, you know, Steven Adams, That dude, he pointed a couple times, but he never said a word. And he could have just squashed it all by saying, you know what? I agree with Russell, and I'm not answering the question any further. Next question.
Because it looked like he wanted to say something.
But he never did.
And he never did. Right.
And it made it look worse because now it just looks like Russell's like, hey, we're all a team. Shut up. Don't talk. We're all a team. And stop. Be quiet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he shushed him, basically. Yeah. And took control of the press conference.
We're a team as long as you listen to what I have to say when I tell you to shut up.
Exactly.
Otherwise, then we're all on different pages.
I thought it was, you know, ballsy of Westbrook to do it. At the end of the day, I think the message got lost in the way
he
did it.
And it also didn't really make sense because of the fact that I understand what he was trying to say, that look, we're all in this together. But then when he started with the third person and the whole. Yeah. You know, then Russell didn't play good. Then just say Russell didn't play good, or just say that, you know, it's on Russell or it's on the, you know, but don't say it's on the. And I'm like, come on,
bad man. Look. Yeah. I mean, you're right. I get what he was trying to do, but just the message got lost in the weirdness of it all. So, yeah, well,
a couple people have chimed in. Tom Brady, because he's a current player that rips the hearts out of the Texans.
Is he hated or is he hated and admired,
or hated because he's so good?
Yeah. Like, he's not one of those guys that you don't look at Tom Brady and go, that dude's an a-hole. You just look at him and go, oh, I hate him beating us every year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
By a lot of points.
Yeah.
Hey, right now I want to tell you about Gallery Furniture. Mattress Mac is my man. All my furniture in my house from Gallery Furniture. Why, you ask? Well, it's top quality American-made solid wood furniture. It lasts a lifetime, and there's always service after the sale because of the people at Gallery Furniture. Owned and operated here in the Houston area forever and a day, Mattress Mac and his staff have made sure that they are accommodating. They have lots of customer service, no back order slips, and great prices on American-made furniture. Now three locations across the Houston area, Grand Parkway between Sugarland and Katy for the brand new showroom there. The mainstay, I-45 North, exit Tidwell Parker both ways, where Mac sits at the front gate and will make sure that at the front desk he puts you in the hands of very capable salespeople to find what you need. And also the new location in the Galleria area on Post Oak, right off Westheimer, right by the Galleria, where you can also shop the same great furniture of Gallery. And right now they have Macapedic mattresses starting at $19.99. You buy one and right off the top you get an $800 Gallery gift card. 2-for-1 recliners. Those Macapedic mattresses make a great, great gift for you that keeps on giving, because a great night's sleep is what gets your day going and keeps it moving in the right direction. All I need to tell you is Gallery Furniture has all your needs. Solid wood living room, dining and chairs, living room sets, custom-made leather upholstered furniture for your man cave or your living room, all at Gallery Furniture in one of three locations. So make sure you do what Max says. Stop by Gallery Furniture where there's no back order slips, and they absolutely will save you money.
ESPN 97.5.
No, I think we're gonna keep the microphone. I had a question for Steven, and it wasn't answered. And I don't understand if Steven wants to say he still hadn't said anything. If he wants to say I don't want to answer that, fine. But
next question, please.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4 on The Usual Suspects. And right off the bat, we told you we're going to have a hell of a show. We got Vernon Maxwell at 2:30. That's fantastic for all you Rockets fans. VMAX, always a great follow on Twitter as well. And right now, joining us, one of the beat writers for the Thunder and a man who has, I'm sure, felt quite a bit of thunder and lots of feedback in the last 24 hours. Barry Trammell joins us right now. Barry's the guy who asked Westbrook the fair question that he couldn't get an answer for. And we just gave him mad props because he held his ground and said, quite frankly, the question wasn't for you. I want to hear from Steven Adams. Didn't get his answer. But, Barry, we really appreciate you spending some time with us. We've all been there before. How frustrating was that situation?
Well, it was a little disappointing. Frustrating, I don't know, because, frankly, we around here we say that's just Russ being Russ. And not totally out of the ordinary for him. What was going on with me was, you know, Westbrook likes to commandeer all kinds of situations. And he'd never really commandeered a press conference before. That's what it seemed like he was doing, and that's why I sort of got little bit my blood boiling and saying, you know what, I'm going to fight you back on this. We can't have you commandeering press conferences. So that's what happened with him.
Now, Barry, this isn't your first run-in with Wes, really, is it?
Oh, no. He's not. It's nothing personal. People think we have something personal. He didn't treat me any worse than he treats anybody. But we did have a deal 2 years ago. He had a triple-double, and he went all Marshawn Lynch in the locker room. Answered every question with good execution. You know, what was the key to the game? Good execution. How well did you guys play tonight? Good execution. What'd you have for lunch? Good execution. And I finally said, is something wrong, Russ? And he said, no. Why? And I said, well, you're answering every question the same. And he said, I just don't like you. To which I said, do you like Nick, the Thunder.com beat writer? And he said, oh, I love Nick. I said, well, you're answering his questions the same as you're answering mine. So he's not. It's nothing personal, but I have sort of stood up to him before, not in any kind of physical or confrontational way, but at some point, every once in a while, somebody needs to remind him and say, hey, listen, you know, there's a big wide world out there that doesn't revolve around Russell Westbrook, and every once in a while he needs to know that.
It seems that way, Barry. It seems like he's got an axe to grind at all times, and maybe that's why he's so effective on the floor, because he just has that, you know, take no prisoners and, you know, I'm PO'd at the world kind of thing. But when I said frustrating, we know you have a job to do too, and you're just trying to get a quote. And it seems like, you know, if Steven Adams would have just stepped in and said, you know, I got this, or let me take this, whether he said, I don't want to answer it, or what Russ said goes, at least he would have given you an answer and you could have moved on. But it seems like that's kind of the aura of Russell Westbrook, is at any given time, he's that ticking time bomb that he can just go off and say and do whatever he wants.
No, I think that's accurate. You know, Steven Adams had never been in the podium before. The Thunder doesn't bring players to the podium in the regular season. And for literally 7 years, eight seasons, Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook came to the podium together. Didn't matter if Serge Ibaka went 11 for 11, as he did against the Spurs one night, or if Reggie Jackson saved the season with 32 points in Memphis. Didn't matter. Russ and Kevin in the podium. And then Friday night, here came Taj Gibson. For the first time ever, somebody joined Russ at the podium who wasn't Durant. And then Sunday, it was Steven Adams. That was his first trip to the interview room. He had to be sitting there thinking, what have I got myself into? Because Adams is a great guy. He's charming. He's self-deprecating. He's just a pleasure to talk to. And there he sat with his eyes wide open, wondering, you know, what the heck's going on. So it was just a mess, but it was just Russ being Russ and trying to commandeer the situation and me saying, you know what, you're going to have a little pushback on this.
I'm curious, Barry, Barry Trammell joins us on The Usual Suspects. I'm curious what your thoughts are or to hear your opinion on how Russell Westbrook is viewed in OKC, because I know how I view him, and I think a lot of the you know, Houston Rockets fans view him. It's kind of like his ball. He's a ball hog. How does that play out in OKC? Is he viewed as a team player and a team guy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. People love him. People love him to death. And, you know, the truth of the matter is there's a lot to criticize about Russell Westbrook. I don't think ball hog's accurate. He finished second in the NBA in assists on a team that, I mean, you guys have seen him four games now. They're not overrun with shooters. Right. Not overrun with great offensive players, and yet he averaged 10.5 assists a game. So he's, you know, he does tend to take on a lot of responsibility in the fourth quarter. He'll jack up some shots. Part of that is him filling the responsibility. Part of that is a little bit of alligator arms on the part of his teammates. They're mostly young. Not many of them have been through the fire. They sort of stand around and wait for Russell's cues, and by then the shot clock's deep and he's going to have to do something. So I think he gets a bad rap on his play. I don't know that he gets a bad rap on his demeanor. I think he would wear on you if you were around him all the time. And I'm not talking about me or even fans. I'm talking about if you had to work with him or play with him, be in close quarters with him 250 days a year. That would probably grind on you. just because of the alpha dog personality that he is. You guys know James better than we do, and you've had him 4 years, we've had him three. Or no, you've had him five, right? You know, 13, 14.
Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Been at Houston five seasons, we had him three. James is a pretty low-key guy. He's pretty easy to get along with. Kevin Durant was that way. Russell Westbrook's not that way. Russell Westbrook is an intense, fiery guy who looks for slights and looks for reasons to have a chip on his shoulder. So that can wear on you, I think, and sometimes it does. But the people of Oklahoma City love him. He re-signed, signed an extension after Durant left. That endeared him to Oklahomans forever.
Well, we're talking with Barry Trammell at Barry, BerryTrammel. Great follow, especially during this series on Twitter, as he is the beat writer for the Thunder. And Barry, a couple things. One, I see Russ as being James Harden of a couple years ago, before James had shooters. And a lot of that fourth quarter stuff, to me, seems like he doesn't trust that his guys are going to make shots. So he feels like he's got to carry the load himself. And it's exactly what Harden did and had to do here until you added Lou Williams, Ryan Anderson, and Eric Gordon. And it seems like from that standpoint, once he went from Robin to Batman, it seems like it was a little bigger undertaking than he thought, because of the fact that you really got to rely on your supporting cast too.
No, I think that's right. And the Thunder's got some players that are pretty good and going to develop. But they don't have the arsenal that you really need. The way I look at this series, the Thunder starters have actually outplayed the Houston starters. And when you match them up player by player, you probably give a little edge to Oklahoma City. But then off the bench, here comes Eric Gordon, and here comes Lou Williams, and here comes Nene.
Right.
And the Thunder's bringing out guys who are pretty one-dimensional. And that's where the balance of talent really gets tilted Houston's favor. Houston just has more good ball players. Each team has a superstar, and then the Rockets have more good players. So, it's going to take something special to beat a team like that, and so far the Thunder hasn't produced it.
How bad would you guys want a guy like Patrick Beverley on your team? I mean, he'd look really good in orange, blue, and white, and I'm sure everybody in Oklahoma City would love to see that.
That would be one of the great sociological experiments of all time. I think you'd be people from both coasts. Psychologists and sociologists would talk to Oklahoma City to study that test.
So what's your take on the whole Beverly thing? I mean, obviously we know what happened 4 years ago. We know that was water under the bridge, but we know that he's probably the most hated guy in OKC. And then what happened with the minority owner's son the other day behind the basket seemed to just add another chapter.
Yeah, I don't like to always speak about players in other cities because you guys know them so much better than we do. But uh-huh. Patrick Beverley strikes me as a classic overachiever. This guy is playing in basketball in Russia 5 years ago, and he's turned himself not just into an NBA player, but a valuable NBA player. He's not a superstar. He's not an all-star. He's not a star, but he's a guy that the Rockets have to have. He gives them that rugged defense and occasionally a good shot. And he's a vital part of the Rocket machine. He's annoying. He is bothersome. You hate him if he's on the other team. You love him if he's on your team. And the history that you mentioned makes it impossible for Patrick Beverley to sort of be invisible. Most teams have a player like that, or a lot of teams have a player like that. But most teams come in a little innocuous. Whoever that guy is for Milwaukee, Della DeVoe, whoever it might be, Oklahoma City doesn't care about that. Whoever it is for the Jazz, Oklahoma City doesn't care. But when it's Patrick Beverley, and he ran into Russell Westbrook and wrecked a playoff, and he's willing to sort of get into it with fans, they take notice. So he is hated, but he's widely respected by me, and I think most basketball people, for turning himself into a quality player.
All right, Barry, before we let you go, we're up against a break, but how do you see this playing out the rest of the series?
Well, I mean, the Thunder has done what it really wanted to do before the series started. It stopped Houston in transition. Oklahoma City's dominating the fast break, and the Thunder's not getting avalanched in the three-point game. Rockets are making more, but the Thunder actually has a better percentage, I think, than the Rockets have been in the 31-32% range the whole series. And yet it's 3-1 Houston. So I'm hard-pressed to see how the Thunder can make up ground to where they could win twice in Houston. It seems like one of these games, the Rockets are due to come out and go 22-39 from three-point range, and the game's going to be over in the third quarter. That seems like where we might be headed.
Well, Barry, we know you're busy. We appreciate you spending some time with us. Great insight, as always. And again, if you want to follow Barry, at BerryTramiel, Barry Trammell, beat writer for the Oklahoman. Barry, we appreciate it. Enjoy your time back here in our fair city, but appreciate the insight. Join us anytime.
Glad to do it. Thanks.
All right, Barry's been our guest. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back with a whole lot more. Don't forget Vernon Maxwell at 2:30 as the hits just keep on coming right here on The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.